I want to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. Try before 2 John. 1 John, chapter 2. As we're going to talk about the last hour, there will be a last time, a last hour. There will be a last opportunity for people to get right with God. But there will be a last hour for us to be on this world. Amen. And I don't want to be in love with it where I don't want to live it. Leave it. If God calls today, I want to be ready to leave now. Praise God. But even in John's day, many years ago, he believed the time could be any day. It still could be any day. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start there. Do not love the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Father, we thank you, God, for your word tonight, today. I pray your blessings be upon your people. Encourage and strengthen us in the scriptures, we pray. I pray for your anointing, God, upon me, Lord, and also the people. We would hear and receive what the Spirit can, only the Holy Spirit can do. Pray your divine will in Jesus' name. Amen. The last hour. Years ago, as a famous anti-Christian atheist, if you can be famous and be that, and on his dying bed, his name is Voltaire, he said, I quote, "I am abandoned by God and man." And he was an atheist. All of a sudden, he believed when he was dying. He said to his physician, Dr. Fauci, "I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months to live." When he was told this was impossible, he said, "Then I shall die and go to hell." Now, this is an atheist. His nurse said, "For all the money in Europe, I would not want to see another infidel die." All night long, he cried, "Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness." It was his last hour. And so we don't want that to be our last hour. We want our last hour to be in faith that Jesus is our Savior, that we're headed for heaven. Praise God. But here, even in some 2,000 years ago, John the Apostle, he lived in a constant expectancy of Christ's return. Regarding his time as the last hour. And this is an expectancy that we also have, knowing the Lord's return can be at any time. God didn't give us a day. God didn't give us an hour. In a particular time that he will come, he just says, "Be ready, for no one knows the day nor the hour. But the truth is, I am coming again." And there is a time for everything in this world. But now is the time to be ready to meet God. It's not the time to start being unfaithful to God, but a time to start being faithful to God. To make our decisions about the eternal now, not put it off to later because you might not have later. And I do believe we're living in the last hour. And I know preachers have said that for years, but I'm saying it again this morning. I believe we're living in the last hour. The last time that Jesus can come today. Amen. In Hebrews 9:28, it says, "For Christ was once offered once for sin, to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly await for him shall he appear the second time apart from sin for salvation." And so we'll eagerly await the coming of the Lord. Amen. But there will be a last hour for this world. There will be a last hour for every person. And some things you can put off in this world and some things you can just wait till another time, but you can't put God off. You can't say, "God, I'll get to you later." Many people have tried that and are now in eternity without God because they thought they would have another chance, or on my deathbed I'll get things right with God, but their deathbed happened too quick and they weren't ready to meet God. So this is the last hour. Let's deal first of all with the last hour church. And the danger of false religion has always been a problem within the church world. There's always been people that have come to sort of the truth, but not really the full truth. And there's always been imitations of truth. And the enemy of our soul is a good imitator. And there is a belief now, many across the world, of universalism, that all religions lead to God and everybody's going to be saved in, and there's no eternal hell and there's no judgment for sin. That's a lie. And so Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That limits everything to one person and one decision about Christ. Amen. It doesn't mean that all religions are okay. They're not all the same thing. I had a guy tell me one time, said it's all the same stuff anyway. Well, no, it's not all the same stuff anyway. There's truth and there's a lie. The truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And it says here that in 2 Peter 3 and 4, it says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things, for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the creation, the beginning of creation. And so, that's a foolish argument, but many people have it. It's just going to go on like it is forever. But it's not going to go on like it is forever. There's going to come a reckoning day. There is a last hour coming. I don't know exactly when that hour is, but I know that God knows. And he warned us of it in Scripture. Be ready for the last hour if today's the last hour. And we see here that the writer speaks of the Antichrist. And he says the Antichrist is coming, and now there are many Antichrists whereby we know it is the last hour. Okay? And there's many anti-Christian things today. I read just an article here just a few days ago about the article about singleness. And I'm talking about not married, okay? Some people don't know the difference, but it is singleness. And the idea of unwed couples living together, it's accepted by society. Many times it's excused for financial reasons. Two incomes is better than one, so we'll just live together. We're not married, but we'll just live together, shack up. That's a carnal way of saying it. It's true. Or, when I further my career down the line, then I'll get married to the person I'm now living with, unmarried. Or, I'm just living with this person because I'm just trying to figure out if they're the right one or not. Man, probably you and her, him, or both, the wrong one. But emotional excuses like, loneliness. But I can tell you, Jesus has the answer for loneliness. You can be in the midst of a crowd and still feel lonely. But Jesus is answer. He's the answer for loneliness. Because if you come to him and give your life to him, he says, I will be with you always to the end of the ages, never alone. Amen, with Christ. But nothing justifies unbiblical behavior regardless of what society may say. Immoral behavior is clearly prohibited in Scripture. Amen. You and I are human beings. We're not animals. We don't date and mate and cohabitate like animals. God created marriage. And this is God's way. In the first part of the book of God's book, the Bible, he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh, not many fleshes, but one flesh. And they were both naked. Notice the next word, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's the only nakedness that God approves of. However, single life is not unbiblical. And I say this today to the church. And people that are single, you're not excluded because you don't have a companion. Or you may feel alone or left out because everybody else has got their honey beside them, but you don't. But let me tell you, as a church, we do not intend to exclude you, but to love and to fellowship with you and care for you and to minister to people who are single. And we are for you and not against you. I just want to make that statement from the church. That's the way I am as a pastor. I value every person. Every person is right, as it's created in the likeness and image of God, and God loves you and God cares, and everyone, everybody that's a believer should care. Amen. And so, regardless of the article that I read, man, I can tell you that God cares for you, single or married. Amen. We're not trying to decide. God still cares. But here in Scripture, we'll find out it's the last hour because not all professing Christians are truly born-again believers. And it saddens me today that many people in the church never knew what it was to be truly born again of God's Spirit, washed in the blood of Christ, delivered from a sinful pursuit of a lifestyle, but yet somehow or another, because they're members of the church, think they're ready for heaven. And they don't stay too long. And here in our text, verse 19, it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest or might be revealed that they were not really of us." And so there are professing Christians that are not truly born again Christians, are not really believers at all. Because if they had been believers, they would have continued with us, it says here. And you know, there's a lot of people that just don't continue with God. A lot of people backslide, turn away from God, say, "I don't have time for that. I've got other things to do. Other things are more important. I'll get back to church when I have to." You know, if I get to feeling guilty enough, then I'll go to church one day and pet myself on the back and make myself feel better. It doesn't work that way. I used to be a worshiper. I used to pray. I used to put God first. I used to believe He's coming soon. But I'm not so sure today. My friends, somehow or another, we've got to make a decision about Christ and stay with it. Had a fellow pastor ask me one time. He come to me, he's a Baptist, and nothing wrong with a Baptist, He said, "Have you had any decisions lately?" And I said, "Well, I'll tell you in 2 weeks whether they really made a decision or not." If they're back at church, yeah, they made a decision to serve the Lord. But most people backslide because they don't continue. What's the word "continue" there? If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. And truly born-again believers continue to live for Christ and don't say, "I'll live for God if He does this, or if I get this, or if He answers this prayer the way I want Him to, or if God just comes through for me on this, if God blesses me this way or that way." You can't put conditions on God. My friend, He died, He rose again from the dead, He gave everything that heaven could give for your life and your eternal life. Who are we to say, "God, you owe me this," or "God, you owe me that"? God owes us nothing. God gave everything, and everything we have is a gift of God, and it's something that God gave. Everything we have is an act of His grace. Man, not of works. Truly born-again believers continue to live for God regardless of what happens. And they don't make conditions, "God, if I get this or if I get that, then I'll serve you." No. Because you see, in this last day, this last hour, an imitation church will arise. And we can see it today throughout society. There's imitation churches that sing the same gospel songs that we sing. They may even shout, speak in tongues a little bit, or pretend they are. And use selected passages of scriptures to justify what they do and say, "Look, these people did the same thing, and so they're saved too." But there's been great compromise in the church world, especially upon the simple gospel of Christ, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And like many churches today, extend membership to gays while ignoring scripture that clearly says that they are not saved. However, I'll add to that statement, say that God can save them and God can save anybody. God can save the alcoholic. God can save the drunk. God can save the immoral person. God can save the person that's done nothing more than steal a piece of candy when they were 5 years old. God can save. I read it many times. I'll read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. spells out some things. Do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. God tells the church here. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is a letter to the Corinthian church, people that were in the church. And he said, and such were some of you. That's the kind of people that God built a church out of. God's got nothing but sinners to build a church out of. And they got to be born again and turn to Him. He says, you were some of these. You were some of these. Some of you were thieves. Some of you were covetous. Some of you were gay. Some of you were extortioners. But when you got saved, you come into the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And you see, God can save anybody out of any sinful activity they're involved in, but God doesn't save people for them to remain as they are. God saves people to bring them out. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that God has called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Called out and called in. Amen. Called out of a sinful lifetime, called out of a bondage to sinful things, and called into fellowship with God who can deliver and set free from any and every sin. Praise the Lord. And so God didn't save you on I used to be. God saved you so that you will be a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. All things become new. The old has gone. The new has come. Praise the Lord, one version says. Continue. Let's look at that for a minute. Jesus says in John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. What if they don't continue? They don't continue to be His disciples. A disciple is a follower of the life and the teachings of Christ. So if you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. Most people backslide because they don't continue. But truly born again believers continue living for Christ. They have been born again. And they're willing to say, I don't care what the devil offers. I don't care what comes along. I'm not going to trade my soul for some cheap offer the devil has to offer me. I'm not going to sell my soul for some cheap thrill on Saturday night somewhere else. I'm not going to sell my soul for some cheap relationship that God condemns to start with. You say, but I'm tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He never yielded to temptation, but God is able to deliver you from the temptation. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but with will the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God makes a way of escape, so our responsibility is to take the way that He makes. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, people must continue. Truly born again believers, don't just say, I was saved at one time, 10 years ago, signed the church roll, amen, dunked in their tank, and I'm all right forever. No. If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed. You're truly born again. The imitation church will arise in this last hour, and they want to be like everybody else, to appear like everybody else, but friend, you've got to live by the book. You've got to call sin by its name and say, I'm not going to live that way. If you fail, you can repent and ask God's forgiveness, and God is gracious to forgive. Certainly, people can be saved, delivered from all these things, and become a member of God's kingdom. But to continue in such lifestyles we've read of shows they are not truly born again, not people of God. So we want to be born again. We want to continue in Christ. I know there's people that teach that you lose your soul, lose your salvation every time you have a wrong thought. No, it's not true. Man, you ever had a wrong thought? You probably had one today. God forgives you. God delivers you. God sets you free of it. God forgives you. Praise the Lord. But the last hour, we might call it an hour of imitation. Because the devil is good at imitating. Man, he imitates everything. Imitation faith. Imitation church is a church that's in love with the flesh, the world, and the devil. For you see, there's only three things the devil has to offer the sinner: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He offered them to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve saw the temptation there. She saw the fruit that was good of the tree that God said you should not eat of it, nor shall you even look at it, so you shall surely die. And Eve saw the fruit, and she partook of the fruit, and gave some to her husband. He partook with her. And the devil said, if you'll partake of this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And they did find out what good and evil was, but they were not like God. And you see, people's works show what they're in love with. A gospel that doesn't preach Christ, but preaches something that appeals to the carnal nature is not the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. So God wants us to be saved, stay saved, and continue on walking with Him. Praise the Lord. To continue on. But the imitation church is in love with everything except they just use the church. You know, this is good for my business. People come and buy tires at my store if I'll go to their church. That's just an example. If you sell tires, I'm not talking to you. Just, amen. Hello, my baby. I hope I'll get tired. Anyway. Works show what people are really in love with. We find, it's amazing in Scripture, as we read through the book of Acts, we'll find that they didn't go forth preaching, you know, that, you know, if you'll do this, you'll do that, then I'll give you this. If y'all, I'll reward you if you'll just turn to Christ. But in Acts chapter 5, we find that Philip went down to Samaria, and Samaritans and Jews didn't get along together at all because Samaritans were a mixed race of people, and the Jews didn't like them because they were mixed and they weren't really truly Jewish in their nationality. But for persecution at Jerusalem sent the disciples out. They scattered out everywhere, preaching the word of God every place. Exactly what Jesus told them to do to start with. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And so Philip went down to Samaria. I don't know if Philip said, we'll just see if this works in Samaria. I don't know if he said that or not. He probably didn't. But he went down to Samaria, and he preached Christ to them. He didn't preach, say, you know, get one of my CDs, you know, for $10. No, if you really want to do good, buy 10 of them, $100. But he preached Christ. No doubt he preached the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ and said, you must be born again or you can't enter the kingdom of God. And when he just preached the simple message of the gospel, then the Bible says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. Now, Philip was a Jew. They didn't like him either. But God crossed all racial barriers and lines here and saved people. This is what he did when he saved me and you. And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many. There we are. Man, I was off, now I'm on. Okay. So unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. And you know, I long to see this kind of manifestations today. I know that sick people get healed, and I was a person that's healed by a miracle, and I'm alive today because God did a miracle in me. But there are many people here that you need a healing. I've seen people that have been prayed for healing that didn't get their healing here in this life and crossed over to the next life before they got their complete healing. And you know, I don't know everything about healing, but I still know that God heals, and where miracles were performed here and God did work this way through Philip, that people were saved, people were born again, people that would have nothing to do with each other before, Jews and Samaritans, suddenly they became brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we send this gospel out all over the world through missionaries, there are people that cultures that the missionary cannot, they just can't eat the same things that they eat, and they just can't, can't believe people, God would send them to people like this. God, did you really die for these? He did. Amen. I was on a mission trip one time, and I still don't know to this day what it was that I ate. But you don't offend the people. You eat the food that's set before you. And when you pray over the food, you really mean it. Okay. And so, Philip continued in the faith and went down and preached to those people. Praise the Lord. But this last hour church, there will always be an imitation of the real. Man, heard a lady speak here a while back, Christian woman, teacher. And she's good, but she said she was going to get married. She's talking about her earlier life. She said, I was going to get married. She said, I saw this jewelry store. You know, ladies never miss a jewelry store. And men never miss Bass Pro Shop. Okay. But she said, I looked and said, I saw this ring in there and said, that's got to be my wedding ring. I'll tell my husband to be, this is it. And so she went in the store and asked the man what the price was on it. It's a beautiful diamond, big diamond. She wanted everybody to know she was married when she married this guy. And the guy said, well, that's $400. She thought, there is no way a rock that big can be $400. And then she saw the sign over the door that said, imitation jewelry. And so there's an imitation of the real thing. And in 2 Corinthians, there's the enemy of the Lord, the devil, tries to imitate Christ. In 2 Corinthians, is it 2 Corinthians? Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11. And 13. And the writer here, Paul, he speaks of false prophets. He said, such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, remember the fake diamonds, the fake jewelry. Just for an example, maybe you can remember that. But here, no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. I can tell you, church, in this last hour, there will be imitation to the real thing. You see it sometimes. I've seen it. I've seen it on TV. I've seen it in what supposedly Christ or Christian services and stuff, but it's not really the real thing. You know the real thing when it's there, because God Christ will be manifested. You'll leave that place seeing no one but Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's the way I want you to leave this morning. This preacher can't do anything for you, but I know a God that can do everything for you. Whose end will be according to their works. There will be a false gospel. Yes. What real gospel? What the real gospel will do? Let's look at this. They went out, but they did not. They were not of us, because they didn't continue with us. In 1 John 2 and 1, I know I'm backing up a page. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so God gives them these warnings in Scriptures to guard them against sin. Because sin will separate you from God. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was sitting in a Sunday school class one day, not this one, and as far as And he said, a man said, if you sin after you've known the truth, then you can, there's no more forgiveness for sin. That's it. I wanted to stand up and ask him, he said, if you sin, mentioned that you've been saved. But I didn't ask him. Should have, but I didn't. So it's God's will that we do not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There's a way out. There's a way God, we can have receive forgiveness and continue on our walk with God. And God warned of false teachers, John, 1 John 2:26. Amen. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. And so God warned them against false teachers, against sin. And God here wants to strengthen their faith in Christ and assure them of eternal life. You know, I grew up in church. Yes, I grew up in church and powerful church, you know, Assembly of God church, Spirit-filled church, had a Spirit-filled pastor. And I heard great sermons on what you are not supposed to do and everything. But, you know, a lot of times it was so hard at the end, I didn't know sure whether I was really saved or not. And so, you know, things sometimes they were legalistic. If you didn't get saved on Wednesday night, you're probably going to hell for next Sunday. Some things like that. And if you got saved on Sunday night, you better make it on Wednesday night or you might lose your soul on Monday or Tuesday. But God has given us assurance and certainty that we're saved, that we can be ready to meet God. And in this last hour that we live in, we need to know that we're saved, that we're on our way to heaven. If regardless if the world blows up or whatever, we're going to be right with God. Regardless of who goes to war against who goes to war, against who gets elected, who doesn't get elected, God is still in charge. And it's the last hour and we're going home to be with Jesus one day. You can have certainty and assurance where your home is. 1 John 5:13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Praise God. Not a question, but there's certainty in your heart that I'm born again, I'm on my way to heaven, and I know I have eternal life. It's not something I'm trying to find. When God truly saved me and delivered me, He gave me the gift of eternal life, and I'm not going to turn from it. I'm going to continue on walking with Him no matter what. In conclusion today, let me ask you, is your faith idle? Like a running car that just burns gas but it doesn't go anywhere? Man, today, it might not take very long to lose it all. Gas in your car. Going nowhere. Finally, when it runs out of fuel, it will die. But in this last hour that we live in, it's time to move and make a decision that today I'm going to follow Christ no matter what. I'm quitting everything else. I'm going to live for God no matter what. Yes, I'm going to keep on working. I'm going to keep on making a living. God doesn't encourage laziness. I'm going to keep on doing this. I'm going to keep on, but I'm going to, Christ is going to be first in my life. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto me. Eternal life, eternal fellowship with God. That's what I want, friend. It's what we must want. But I do believe we're living in this last hour. But in this last hour is the time to make a decision. I'm going to walk with God no matter what. I'm going to decide to be free. To stay free. Amen.